for the Youngstown Area Jewish Federation Oral Histories by Lois Davidow. I'm at 4890 Glenwood Avenue, July 8th, about 10 o'clock. When did your family get here, June?
I really don't know. I think Gerald would have that information. My grandfather came here from Germany, from Alsace. He was born in Alsace.
Your grandfather?
Isaac Strauss, to avoid conscription. And he came to this, to Youngstown, because his cousin, Mr. Theobald, lived here. And he peddled in this area until he came back and worked at Theobald's.
What was Theobald's?
Theobald's was a general store. Theobald Company.
Was that in Youngstown downtown?
In Youngstown downtown. And then later on, he and Mr. Hirschberg formed Strauss.
Well, was your mother here in Youngstown, or did
my mother, my father married Lena Felser from Philadelphia, who was related somehow to Mrs. Theobald. That's how they met. And they moved to Youngstown. And when they were bride and groom, they lived on the street behind Wick Avenue, on the east side, I forget the name of it. They lived in a half of
Scott Street?
No. Wick Avenue, down by Bran Avenue, behind the library. There's a little street that goes there.
But not the Wick Oval?
No. Right behind, just east of Wick Avenue, the first street east of Wick Avenue, off of Rand.
Okay.
They lived north of Rand on that street in a double house. And later on, they built their house on Wick Avenue, which was right next to the Masonic building. And I think Gerald has the receipts of the house, of how much they paid for it and how much different things.
This was right after they were married?
No, they lived on this other street first.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember
the
name of
it. Walnut or somewhere in there.
I'll look it up on the city map for you in a minute. You want to shut that off and I'll look it up.
Okay, so that was Walnut Street.
Yeah.
Your grandfather then was working for? Or your father?
This is my grandfather, Isaac Strauss. I think by that time he was working for, at the time they were married, I'm sure he was working for Theobald. And I don't know. I think by the time they had built their own house, he must have been established in his own business.
Mm-hmm. But he started out by working for...
Or his cousin.
His cousin, Theobald. And when you were born, where?
My mother was born...
Well, let's go back.
Either on Wood Street or I'm not sure. She was born here, and I was born when my mother married.
Let's get to your mother and father. Your mother was born
here. My father, Harry Meyer, was born in Aurora, Indiana, and he was a salesman and used to come here to sell, I don't know what. And he met Herman Ritter, and they went into business together. And my father used to play cards with my grandfather. And he met my mother when she was 16 years old, and he was 16 years older than she, but she fell in love with him, and they were married in 1900.
Did your mother have any other brothers and sisters?
Clarence Strauss was my mother's only brother.
And no other sisters? No. There were only the two?
The two.
Two. And you have one brother?
I have one brother, and that's all. Yeah. Our family is small.
Who is the older? You or?
My brother Gerald Meyer is 4 years older than I. And I was born on Rickover.
And where did you go to school?
First I went to Elm Street School, and then I went to Yale School. I think 1 year at Parmalee, and then I went somewhere in there. And then I went to Parmalee. Went away to school.
So you went to both public and private schools.
Mm-hmm.
And Gerald too?
Gerald went to Elm Street School, Yale School, graduated from Rand, and then went on to Cornell.
What was the social life as a youngster? Very young, before, do you remember?
Well, we lived on Wickover, and we had a wonderful time down there. The Alfred Liebmans lived there, and they had a daughter, Florence, who was just my age. The Kornhausers lived there, and the Robins, and my mother's closest friend, Bess Sickle. She is related to just a minute. What was Eleanor Shaggy's? Eleanor Grover's mother's name. Hamburg Chagrin, Mr. Hamburg. No, Mrs. Hamburg was Mr. Sickle's sister. Catch it.
I got it.
Okay. I'm sure I'm twisting you up.
No, that's all right. It'll all be here. So you had the...
Oh, we had a whole game. They played there together all the time. And there weren't very many girls just my age. So I always went with, most of the time I went with girls a little older. And of course, after I got older, we had a very active life around the temple.
That's my next question. Mm-hmm. The temple, your activity was around the temple. Where was the temple that
day? The temple, well, when I was a little child, it was on Lincoln Avenue, but by the time I grew up enough to be socially active, the activities were at the temple. They used to have wonderful dances there and basketball games and all kinds of things.
Everything revolved.
In fact, your uncle, who used to put on most of the dance.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Which uncle?
Henry.
Oh, well, that wasn't my.
Oh, that was.
That was Carolyn Crosby.
Yeah, and Jean, yeah. And Jean Epstein.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Excuse me.
Yeah, that's okay. Were there youth groups and sorts of organizations? Or
I don't think there were any youth groups. I think that everybody just went there and met. And when we had a social life, we went with many of the boys and girls in our Sunday school class, and we used to meet at each other's homes.
But it was all stemmed from the temple, most of it.
Most of it.
As opposed to school or
yes.
Any other outside activity. Did you, what kind of transportation? How did you go from what oval to the temple?
Well, by the time I lived, the temple, the big temple was, the present temple was built. I didn't live on Wick Oval, but when I lived on Wick Oval and went to Lincoln Avenue, how do you think we went? We walked. And if we wanted to go, when I went to school, and it was beyond walking distance, for instance, when I went to Yale, I'd walk over to Elm Street and take the Elm Street car, Elm Street streetcar up to Todd Lane and then walk the rest of the way.
Do you remember many of the merchants at that point?
Oh, I forgot to tell you, the Ozerskis lived on Wick Oval at that time, too. I could name them to you as far as personal things I have no...
You have no recollection.
No, I remember. No, I don't, really.
You shop mostly in your own...
Always. Okay. What do you think?
What about health care and hospitals? Do you have any...
Well, if we went to the hospital, which of course I didn't do because I was too young, you went to the South Side because it wasn't in that I knew of.
Yeah. Probably wasn't as fast as you.
And incidentally, David Theobald was on the first board of that hospital. He was one of the people who was get started.
What do you remember of your grandfather as far as working and...
Well, I remember him going down to work and in striped pants and a morning coat and a yarmulke, which I thought was to keep his bald head warm.
So he worked all, he kept his head covered at all times?
Mm-hmm. But I didn't know any better. I thought he had a bald head, and I thought that was because it was drafty on top.
Were they involved a lot in the temple then?
Oh, yes.
Everything, again, revolved around the temple.
Mm-hmm. And the coffee clutch.
You don't remember what went on at those.
No,
was
I
there
don't remember.
Was it political?
Child, no?
Was it political?
No.
Just
not
secure.
That I remember there was nothing political.
Do you remember much anti-Semitism at that point?
Well, I remember it when I was in the fourth or fifth grade.
In what, for instance?
Oh, they used to...
This was where, at Yale? Or?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was very subtle. I can't remember anything particular. But you'd get a little sheeny business once in a while. I can't remember what it was.
But you enough to feel uncomfortable, to remember to feel that
I
you
remember
felt some
it, but I was not. It was not enough to make me feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
Did the Jewish people at that time, the ones that were in Youngstown,
segregated? Yes, socially. Mm-hmm. On rare occasions, my mother went to high school. Kept up with many of her high school friends who were not Jewish.
Where did your mother go to high school?
Raymond. But, and so did my uncle, but there was not, if there was any social interchange, it was once a year or once every 2 or 3 years, but it was very, wasn't important.
Mm-hmm.
Now my father used to go with mostly Gentile people when he lived here. When he moved here, he lived at the Todd House. And his best friend was a Dr. Blaine, who was indeed a friend of his. And they used to go for him.
So he felt, no, he didn't feel anything yet.
Well, I don't know. It was never
obviously didn't.
No.
Did you have anyone, as you were growing up, who was an idol that you really wanted to, that influenced you?
Not really.
You just went your own little way. Did you, did that your grandmother's or your mother's activities influence you? Volunteer-wise or organization-wise?
I think my mother's did. My grandmother was an old lady at 55, I guess. She was not very well. She had heart trouble. And I guess there was always volunteer work in the home, and so I was used to it. And that's what I was used to seeing, and that's what I did.
Do you remember any particular family experiences that were interesting? Things that the family did together?
Oh, we used to go motoring every summer. And I remember when there was, well, there were no maps, there were just blue books. And the blue books used to say, you go so many miles and you see a red barn with a weather vane. You turn right, go past two houses, and come to a place that raises Holstein cows and turn to the left. That's the way the blue books were written. If they changed to jerseys, you were lost.
How far did you go?
We went to New York, up to New England.
You went all the way to New England?
Oh, yes. And I remember one time we had a flat tire and they stuffed it with straw.
And it went?
Well, I don't remember how far it went, but I remember it happening. And at that time, we were in open cars and we all had our own dusters with veils.
And charming looking. And dirty when you got wherever you were.
Oh, yes.
Did they ever, you were stopped at hotels, or certainly not motels?
Yes, we would arrange to stop, to take our trip, and stop at a hotel.
This was the whole family?
Yeah, my grandmother, grandfather, and uncle, mother, father, and Jill, myself. Seven-passenger car, that crank.
And who drove?
Mostly Uncle Clarence, sometimes Father.
This was before Clarence was married?
Oh, yes, long before.
What about Jewish holiday and celebrations? Family celebrations?
Oh, they... I guess we celebrated. We always went to temple. And I don't remember a Seder until Mrs. Kaufman. I was a very little girl. Mrs. Kaufman, Mrs. Otto Kaufman, moved to town, and she used to have elaborate Seders, and we always went there. But I was very young, and I don't remember really. Those impressed me.
Uh-huh. The High Holy Days?
Oh, we always went to temple.
That was
the ones that were old ones.
What else would you like to tell me about the Strauss store?
Well, I think Gerald can give you much, much more about it than I. Mm-hmm. In fact, he has all the data about it.
Well, as a volunteer, what do you think was the most important achievement?
No. So many things seemed important. I worked on the blind board, was one of the original, maybe not the original, but next to the original people on the Planned Parenthood, and worked very hard for that. I worked as a nurse's aide, you name it, I worked at. At the temple, and the sisterhood, and for the council, and for all the organizations.
So they all were important to you.
They were all important.
Where did you meet Arthur?
Uncle Clarence introduced me to him in New York. I was in New York, and Uncle Clarence wrote and asked, or called me when he got there and asked me to go out to dinner, and I said, well, I was really busy, all except one night. And he said, well, that's the night of the National Retail Dry Goods Association banquet. Would you mind going? And I said, no. And it was a formal affair. So I met him at the hotel, and we were walking through the lobby, and in a sea of people in tuxedos, there was one man there, not wearing one, and Uncle zeroed in on him and said, Arthur, I'd like you to meet my niece. And I didn't see him for the next year. And by that time he was working in Akron, and Uncle Clarence called me up one day and said, I have this nice young man over here, I'd like you to come over and entertain him. And I went over, and evidently I entertained him successfully. Because that was about in June, and we were married in January.
Did he come to Youngstown then?
Oh, every weekend.
But after you were married, where did you live? Immediately.
He lost his job while we were engaged.
What did he do?
He was with a poultry company. He was in merchandise. I don't want to go into this whole thing. After that, he moved to New York, and he worked for the Allied Store. And finally...
But he worked then for the Strauss?
Yes, after several other jobs. He came here and was, after Henry Goldstein died, he was general merchandise manager until they sold the man.
And then what did he do?
Then he went to teach, which was had always been a dream of his, and he went to teach at Penn State University, and he taught business and general business. And during that time, he saw on the bulletin board that they were taking applications for Fulbright teachers and scholars. So he applied and got a position in Norway in the Handelshøyskole, which is equivalent to Harvard Business School. And we lived there for a year. And when we came back, we found out how nice it was to do that. And he got another job lecturing, giving seminars in Japan. And we went around the world that way, and he dropped little pearls of wisdom on the way. And the ironic thing is that his main subject in Japan was quality control. But anyhow, after that he gave different seminars in different places. And one year he was asked to go on a 5-week seminar in Israel, where they really didn't want to have him in Israel, because they evidently at that time didn't like Jewish professors telling him what to do. But he was with one of the men from Bird's Eye Foods, and I forget the name of it, a poll that is not Gallup, it's out of Chicago.
Harris?
No, the other one.
It doesn't
make any sense. Anyhow, there were men from Look Advertising and Look Magazine and different things, and he gave them his assignment was import export. And that was it.
Now, this was at the, you lived here for how, you worked for the store for quite a number of years. Worked for Strauss.
About 17 years.
Strauss Hirschberg.
Then he went to State College for 9. And then after we did this traveling and seminars, are you on?
Yeah.
He came back here and did seminars out of Youngstown for business people that he had known and came to wanted surveys and different seminars given. Then at 75, he decided that everything was history, that he had to work too hard.
Now, in all this time, you had stopped and had a family during this period.
We had 2 children, Arthur Jr., who was born in Greensboro, North Carolina, when we lived there, and Carol Muskin, who lives in Philadelphia.
But they were raised in Youngstown.
They were both raised in Youngstown.
And went to school.
Well, they went to Harding School, and then my father was very ill, and we moved to the country. He wanted us to come out there, and they finished at Fordham.
And where are they now? Oh, you just...
Yes.
And you have grandchildren?
Yes, I have 6 grandchildren. Carol has 2 boys and a girl, and Arthur has...
Now, what can you tell me about Mr. Hirschberg?
Oh. Mr. Hirschberg was a very sweet gentleman, and his department in the store, he was mostly interested in furs, and they had a very fine fur department. I don't know how many years he was working here when his brother went to Alaska and became very much interested in mining. And they started a gold mine there called the Golden Elsa. And Mr. Hirschberg moved to Alaska, left the store and moved to Alaska. I don't know how many years he stayed there, but the Golden Elsa was not so golden. And he came back and went back into business with my grandfather.
Well, prior to that, he was not in business.
I don't.
What relationship was Mr.
Friends.
Just friends.
And it's very funny. I was at the bank a couple of years ago, and the trust officer said to me, I just came back from Alaska. I said, what on earth were you doing in Alaska? He said, well, we have an estate we're settling that has, some shares, a number of shares in the Golden Elsa, and I went up there to research it. So there are, people still have shares in the Golden Elsa.
So it's still mining, apparently.
No.
Oh.
No.
Never mind too well.
No. And
are there any Hirschbergs left here?
There were no Hirschbergs here.
Well, there were no offspring of any Hirschberg.
No, Elsa Hartzell.
Yeah.
Elsa Hirschberg married Saul Hartzell. And I'm sure you have the history of them from the Hartzell family.
Where does Herzog come in? There's a Herzog family. Is that originally Hartzell?
I don't know. Liebman.
Rabbi Lippman Liebman.
Had a pass to escort people across the lines in the Civil War. Because when I was doing research on the same subject for the council, I wrote to Florence Liebman Fells, who lives in Kansas City, and she told me this. And I asked her if I could, she would give us the pass, but she said her daughter wanted it. She said, that's who has it. And that's all I know about him.
I wonder Fanny Rose.
Tell
me about the Jonas Family.
Well, I really don't know very much. Oh, shut it off.
Who are the people you think we should have names that even you don't know about? But.
Well, I think you should have something about the Wilde family here. And the, of course, Grandma Wilde used to go around with a long mourning veil down to her hips, as long as I can remember. And her daughter, Clara, was born deaf or became deaf in early in life, and she was an outstanding woman. She read lips and could communicate with everyone. And it was through her that the hearing and speech center was started, on account of, I think my mother helped start that, because she and Clara were very good friends. Clara's sister married in Altoona, and I think she married a while, but not related. Her daughter married and lives in New London, and her name is Elfenbein, which might help you to clear some of this. One of the Wildes, a relative of the Wildes, married Cassie Ritter, who was a member of the
Jean Einstein. This is the second side of the tape with Jean Einstein.
I don't know who Ritter from the Cassie Ritter from the very prominent Ritter family married Elio Weil and moved to Pittsburgh, and he became a very prominent lawyer. One of the other Ritters, Carrie, was married to Mr. Theobald.
It's David Theobald.
David Theobald. I shouldn't forget the Guthman family. And the only person that I know who might have some records of the Guthman family is Clarice Guthman Dolly, D-O-L-L-E. And I could give you her address if you want. Who would have? I don't know. Who else would?
And what about Jonas? Is there any way?
Jonas is, I have no idea. Because the only ones that I know that were living lived in Louisville and Texas. And I can't remember their married names. I said when my father was very ill, and then I lived there until we moved away.
But when did your father move out to the, to the country?
Well, they bought the farm in 19... I was about 6 or 7 years old, I guess. But wait a minute. I was born in 1906. They must have bought it. 1912.
And you lived out there then?
Only in the summers.
Oh, it was more of a summer home.
It was a summer home until the war.
And then they moved in?
And then maybe they moved in before that. Because they used to rent places.
What was the name of the farm?
Gerald G.
Did the Strauss family live in that direction at one time?
They lived in Maple Croft, which was on an extension of Southern Boulevard, just beyond Western Reserve Road. They lived there.
Do you,
Until they moved north. And then at that time, and that was, I think they moved there in 1931 or 1932.
Do you want to talk about Clarence or any of their family?
Well, I really don't have much to say that their children couldn't tell you better, except that he was a wonderful man, and he was like another father to me.
Was he a warm person?
Oh my, yes he was. He had a heart as big as all outdoors. And he used to, every Christmas, he went to the children's home on Christmas Eve and took toys for all the children. And when I was old enough, he let me go with him. He did that as long as there was a children's home on Glenwood Avenue. And many, many other charities that people don't even know about. Kindness to people.
What about his wife, Elaine?
Well, Aunt Elaine, she looked like, when she came to town, she looked like a princess. She was so beautiful. And she had a personality that was so magnetic that when she would walk down the street, and she was so stylish, that when she walked down the street, they'd make kind of an aisle for her. And when she'd walk in the room, you didn't notice anybody else. And the saddest thing was that she became ill early in life and deteriorated. Because when she was young, she was radiant.
I have good memories of her.
And it's a pity that the people who knew her in later life didn't have a chance to know her when she was young.